So today I'm going to speak about the body, and not the body as to describe the nature of our church as a metaphor for our church, for the church in general, but about the physical body, hands and feet, flesh and bones, head and heart, your body, my body, our bodies, the physical body. And it wasn't until some time ago that I held quite a wrong view about my body. Because somehow after I came to Christ in 2001, I developed the belief that my body didn't really matter. Thinking that the spiritual life in God's kingdom is all about the soul, about my inner being. And, you know, before my conversion, it was the other way around. It was all about my body and pleasing its desires. You know, sports, I really like sports, adrenaline, drinking, partying, sex, all those kind of things. Which isn't strange, of course, because in the world, it's all about those things. You know, if you walk at the Herenstraat here in the city, you would see all the advertisements. Eat me, drink me, buy me, look at me, talk to me, you know. It's all about anti-aging. Well, you know, just a secret. Don't worry about anti-aging. We have the Holy Spirit. By which you always look young. Fashion. Diet. Chocolate. I don't know how those two relate with one another, but anyway. But you know, it's all about the body. But now that I came to Christ, it was no longer important to me. Or at least, it should no longer be important to me. And on top of that, I also found my body more like a hindrance to follow Jesus rather than a powerful resource. Because the same body with which I lift my hands in worship is also able to act sinfully. You know, it's the tension of which Jesus described as the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And every time I sinned, I began to kind of dislike my body, giving it a very low view or less value. And maybe that's your experience too. And what value do you actually give to your body? And what value do you think God gives to your body? Why don't you think about it for a second? What value do you give to your body? Just be completely honest with yourself. Now, God thinks quite different than I did at that time about my body. God gives a very high value to your body, to my body. And in fact, as we've read in Psalm 63, your body is heavily involved in expressing your relationship, your love, your worship to God. Now today I pick up my series on Going Deeper, which is a series about the practice of the spiritual disciplines like solitude or prayer or fasting or giving or celebration. What we're doing now is a spiritual discipline, it's the discipline of celebration. And they're all practices that helps you to go deeper with God, to pursue His presence, and to enjoy more fully that new life that you've received in Jesus Christ. And all these disciplines, they involve bodily action. And today I'm going to look at a couple of verses, a couple of passages from the Bible that describes how you can use your body in your relationship to God. And the first passage I'm going to look at is Romans chapter 12. And if you have something like a Bible with you, then please look up Romans chapter 12. We're going to read only verse 1 and verse 2. And as we engage in those ancient words, let me just pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Meanwhile, you can just look it up. Lord, thank you for your word. That word, Lord God, which is sharper than a sword. It just goes through everything, Lord God. Body, soul, and spirit. And Lord, I pray that as we read from your word, as we speak from your word, as we think about your word, reflect about your word, will you, God, will you speak to us, straight to our hearts? Lord, that it may revive our spirit, soul, mind, and body, our whole person. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, Paul is the author, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Until so far. So I was right in saying that everything had changed in my life because of Jesus Christ. But I was wrong in saying that my body didn't really matter. And here, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul gives a right perspective on your body, on my body. Therefore, because you are changed by the grace and mercy of God, because of this change, now offer your body as a living, holy sacrifice, pleasing to God. And this is your spiritual act of worship. Interesting, isn't it? Now, Romans 12 is firmly built on the theology that Paul had laid out in chapter 1 to 11. And in these chapters, Paul writes about what God has done for you in his redemption through his son Jesus Christ. And then chapter 12 is the beginning of the second half of Romans. And chapter 12 is the beginning of all the practical implications of this redemption. And Paul basically says, now you need to make it your own what God has done for you. You need to appropriate and apply what God has done for you. And what did God do for you? What did God do for you? Well, what he did for you, for example, is that God, he broke the dominion of sin over your life. And he replaced the dominion of sin with the reign of grace and mercy. Now it is grace and mercy that reigns over your life and in your life. And this breakthrough of grace and mercy has paved the way for you and for me, for us, to live a different kind of life. It is the redeemed life in Jesus Christ, which is a life with a heavenly and eternal quality. And living out this new life in Jesus is nothing else than a lifestyle, an overall lifestyle of worship and intimacy with God. In which your body is heavily involved. And so your body does matter. Your body does matter. And let's just look on chapter 12, just those two verses, what Paul says about your body. But Christian spirituality, your life with Jesus, you know, it's about you as an entire person. The body involves more than just flesh and bones. Paul speaks about you as a whole person, but including your body. And instead of holding a low view of your body, Paul says, use it to glorify God, to worship God. Now, this is quite a different perspective, doesn't it? To use your body for worship and service to God. Paul speaks in sacrificial language. Offer your body as a sacrifice to God. Now, we no longer have to bring literal sacrifices, fortunately, because it would be a bloody thing here. Noisy with all those goats, sheep. Jesus Christ, he became the ultimate sacrifice in his death on the cross. cross, in which he fulfilled all the Old Testament, all the literal offers that the people of God in the Old Testament used to bring. But the sacrifice that you and I, that we bring today, are all spiritual. They're spiritual sacrifices. And how does that look like in relationship to your body? Now, just some time ago, I read a book in which the author said that he used to take one day a year, to literally dedicate each member of his body to the Lord. And he would take a whole day, committing his hands, his fingers, his feet, his toe, his legs, his torso, his heart, everything, his eyes, his ears, to the Lord, bringing it under the rule of Jesus. Actually, I forgot who the author is. You know, that caused me so much stress this week because I was looking, who's the author? What was the book again? But I forgot. But I thought it was such an inspiring way, you know, to take Romans 12 literally. Devoting your body with full intention to the Lord. And yet offering your body to God is a continuous process, a continuous action. For your body is a living sacrifice. You're not dead, you're alive. And you're even alive in Jesus Christ. You are a living sacrifice. Romans 12 is about the overall lifestyle of you being a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And says Paul, it's not just a living sacrifice. No, the person who lives up with his body to God is a holy sacrifice. You're holy. Holy means set apart. In Jesus Christ, your body is set apart for the Lord. Now, another passage that I would like to look at is 1 Corinthians 6. And you find this same thought of your body being set apart for the Lord in this passage. And again, it's Paul who writes. And he writes against some Christians who remained in an overall lifestyle of sexual immorality. And these Christians, they too held a wrong view about their body, thinking that the spiritual life was all about the spirit. And whatever you would do with your body would not affect the spirit. And this for them, you know, going to the prostitutes, it was not a big deal. The body didn't matter. It's all about the spirit. It would not affect your relationship with God. Now let me just read a couple of verses, and I have them on the screen. Of what Paul says about the body in this passage. So we're not going to read the whole passage, just a couple of verses. But Paul says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you. You're not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Does your body matter? Does God have a low view of your body, and therefore should you reject it? Is your relationship with God all about the soul or the spirit? Obviously not. For God has purchased your body with the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross. And in Jesus, God has set your body apart for himself. But you're no longer the owner of your body if you're a Christian. Now God is the owner. And your body belongs to him. It is redeemed. It is paid for. Purchased. And he even made your body his dwelling place. For the Holy Spirit is in you. That's such a mystery. But the Holy Spirit, God is in you. By the presence of his spirit, you're never without God, for God is in you, You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, would God do all this if your body doesn't matter? You know, I think this is in-breaking news. And the in-breaking news is that your body, my body, is fully included in the redemption of Jesus Christ. And your body is not meant for destruction, as the Corinthians thought, and as many Christians think. But your body is meant for resurrection, for it is united in Jesus Christ. You know, this is really, really, really good news. Why? Because there are many people who struggle with their bodies. And you might be one of them. I am one of them. You know, I have struggled and still struggle with my body. I have this rheumatic disease that deforms my body and causes those ugly spots on my skin. And all these things that were happening, it made me really to dislike my body and even hate my body. You know, at times I was stressed, at times I was depressed or ashamed about my body. I didn't want to look in the mirror. Or I would look in the mirror, but I would deny what I was seeing. Now, you might struggle with how you look like. Or maybe your body is sick too. Or you find it hard to control your body and you struggle with sin or addiction or end addiction. And yes, it is a real challenge to face those struggles. But I hope and I pray that you begin to appreciate your body as something that belongs to God, a temple of the Holy Spirit, something which is redeemed, something which is paid for with the blood of Jesus. Don't hate your body. Hate the sickness. Hate the addiction. Hate the sin. But begin to learn to look at your body just as God does. I like that phrase in the songs, that though my sins are like scarlet or something like that, it is now made as white as snow. That's how God looks at your life. You're made holy, perfect, blameless, without any accusation in Jesus. Now, we're going to do a little exercise. I would like you, for the next 2 minutes, turn to your neighbor and have open conversation how you viewed your body until now and what place you've given your body in your relationship with Jesus. Now, before we do so, I realize that this might be a sensitive topic for some of us. So, if you don't feel comfortable with this, then that's okay. You can just say that. Or you can just go to someone who you feel comfortable with, okay? So just go ahead, just 2 minutes, and then I will move on. I would like us to turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 11 to 14. And we're going to read that passage in a moment. So if you have a Bible with you, Romans 6, verse 11 to 14. Because before I'm going to end practically in how you could use your body as a spiritual act of worship, I would like to say a few more words about the struggle with sin we all face. Because the reality is that a Christian life is more like a battlefield rather than paradise. At least that's my experience. You know, I know that I'm called to live a life of obedience to God and a fellowship of Jesus. And yet each day, you know, I kind of struggle to do that. Each day I sin, just as we all sin each day. And is that bad character from my side? Or is it a different kind of tension? Now let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 11 to 14. Paul says about this tension. He says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not on the law, but on the grace. gotten so far. Now, can you say, hopla? Hopla! Hopla! It's a very nice children's television program on television. But more like that, it's a Greek word that Paul uses here, which in the NIV is translated as instrument. But hopla actually means weapon. Weapon. Now, it's through your body that you communicate with the space and time and world around you. And Paul says that a Christian can either communicate with his body, with this world, as a weapon of wickedness or as a weapon of righteousness. And in these verses, Paul paints that picture of your interaction with the world as that of a battlefield. And the struggles that you face in your fellowship to Jesus is probably not about bad character, as it is about reality. For the Christian life is one of constant battle. And the arena is the world. And the world in the Bible is the sin and satanic dominated world in which we live, to which all people naturally belongs, but from which you and I as Christians are redeemed. And the battle that you face is a spiritual one. Because although you've been transferred into the kingdom of God already, which is the redemption, it does not isolate us from the influence of this world, this dark world, as Ephesians 6 says. For we, you and I, we still live in a mortal body. And the spiritual battle is fought and won or lost in the daily decisions that you and I make in how we use our bodies. And this is the conflict. This is the conflict. And it's in this arena, in this battlefield, that we constantly need to make a choice. Will I either use my body to communicate wickedness, or will I use my body to communicate righteousness? Now let me give you an example. When we moved into our new house, there was this man from another street nearby who would always walk with his two dogs in our streets. Well, no big deal, you would say. But the thing was, those dogs were quite aggressive and intimidating. And in a way, they behaved exactly like the boss. A typical thing. And you know, this man, he would not walk just once or twice a day through our street, but 4 to 5 to 6 times a day. In other words, every other hour, Rocco and I were confronted with this man, with those dogs. And the kids couldn't even play outside, you know. It's not safe. And we began to feel annoyed and irritated about this man. We even began to speak judgmental. We became angry at him. But at a certain point, we realized that this wasn't what Jesus asked us to do. And what we did, we began to pray for this man and for this family. We began to greet him. We began to seek opportunity to start friendly conversation. And last year, our daughter Celeste, she sent a Christmas card to them. And they sent one in return, telling them that they were so encouraged by it. And meanwhile, as we, you know, it was a process of 1.5 years or so. But what happened was that all our negative emotions and thoughts and words, they disappeared. And they were replaced by words of blessing. Of grace. Now, this is not a receipt for for success, but this is just our story. What happened with us? But the kingdom of God is advanced in this relationship. And our bodies, your body, is a powerful weapon, and you can either use it for the negative or for the positive. And so, let's be careful how and what we communicate with our bodies. Now, let's go back to Romans 12, and I will close off practically how you and I can use your body as a weapon for righteousness and offer it to God as a holy sacrifice. How do you do that? And let me repeat Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now your deeds, my deeds, they naturally arise out of a certain quality of life. And before you came to Christ, the quality of your life was defined by the power of sin. But now that grace and mercy reigns over your life, you need to develop new habits, so to say, that matches this new quality of life, because you have received a new quality of life in Jesus. And Paul, he speaks in Romans 12, in that verse 2, about a process of transformation and renewal that needs to take place. It's a process of transformation and renewal in which you unlearn old and worldly habits and learn new kingdom habits. It's a transformation of both the external behavior and your inner being, the whole person. And Dallas Willard, he is the author of a book, great book on the spiritual disciplines. He states that if we've experienced this new birth, this regeneration in Jesus, then we should not only talk about it, but we should exercise it, working out what God has worked in. Wow. Working out what God has worked in. Showing it in our fingertips, in our tongue, in our bodily actions, in relationship to other people. Working out what God has worked in. And this is where the spiritual disciplines come in. Because the disciplines are those new habits or activities by which you bring your entire person under the authority of Jesus Christ and into connection with God's will and purpose for life. And I will end with sharing a couple of examples of how I try to do that, just to give you an idea. As some of you know, I'm excited about windsurfing. That's my sport. And usually before I do a session, you know, as I walk to the water with my gear, I always dedicate a session to the Lord. Giving Him thanks for the opportunity to enjoy creation, to have fun on the water, to enjoy the wind, you know. But also praying a blessing over the session, some protection, depending on the wind. And by doing so, I bring my sports under the authority of Jesus, and I make it a spiritual event by which the Lord is glorified, and I, as a person, am refreshed. To me, that's a spiritual discipline. Another example, I can be quite self-centered. And because of that, I tend to keep things for myself. And in order to break this pattern of self-centeredness, I challenge myself a little bit to seek, to practice generosity whenever the opportunity arrives. So that it could mean paying a bill, as we have dinner in a restaurant for someone else, or giving a financial gift to someone, or give something away. Something like that. And I'm not perfect. Often I lose for myself. And I can't bring it up to bring the sacrifice. But you know, that's transformation. We're moving towards perfectness, so to say. But this practice of generosity prevents me from allowing money or allowing possessions to become the most important thing in my life. It is grace and mercy that reigns over us, not my wallet. One more. I love life. Really. Especially the Burgundy way of life. Good food. A nice glass of whiskey on Saturday nights. Or, you know, with this beautiful weather, a beer in the afternoon, enjoying the sun. I love it. But I've decided to to fast twice a year from those pleasures. Why? Well, to bring it under the authority of Jesus. To bring my body under the authority of Jesus. You know, bringing those things into balance, in the right order, in God's will and purposes. Now, one more. As every one of you, I suffer from the noise and the distraction of my smartphone. And so each week I try, and it's really a priority in my week, each week I try to spend some time in solitude and silence, usually taking a walk in nature. And as I do so, you know, I allow God to speak to me in silence or in this silence and try to become aware of God's presence in nature. And really, I love those moments, only if it's just 10 or 15 minutes, usually it's half an hour or an hour or so. But those moments are so valuable, have become so valuable to me. Now, they are simple, practical, and powerful ways to submit my body to God, and through which I'm able to more fully enjoy the life in God's kingdom. Now, one thing before I close off, which I haven't said yet. Transformation and renewal is not happening merely in your own strength. Eventually, you are changed by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very important to realize. And yet, as C.S. Lewis says, spiritual growth requires an intentional effort on our part, while spiritual stagnation and decline requires no effort at all. You and I, we do have our part to play in our transformation, in your body's transformation. And it's shaped by actions like the spiritual disciplines. And this, go deeper with God and get your body involved. Give it the right value. Begin to see it as God sees it. Holy, set apart for the Lord. And let grace and mercy reign over your life. And yes, in response to that, offer your body as a living, holy sacrifice for the Lord, pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. Amen.